Man, I was thinking about topics, and the answer is no. I mean, I got some stuff we can talk about. Part of the problem is, oh, go ahead.
2020 gay, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's right. Well, before we talk about anything, go ahead and tell everybody who you are.
All right. I am Vet Archist OG. I am a Pisces. Mm-hmm.
Same, dude.
Nice. Yeah. Born to drink like a fish.
There you go.
Scotch Irish, about 6'3". Anyway. No. Bank
routing number?
Yeah. I don't use banks. Shit. No, I'm just Vet Archist OG on Twitter. I'm the host of Smoke Pit Storytime, which you can find pretty much anywhere. Took a break. Actually, I said I wasn't going to do this anymore. I don't know, man. Like I was all hot and heavy, excited, libertarian, you know, newbie.
Yeah.
And I'd been kind of living that stuff for a while. I just didn't know what it was like. And then I actually started focusing on LP party stuff. And, then I just finally just realized that it's the CIA op, and, got turned off again and decided I don't like any political party. I just really don't give a rat's ass. And, so I just, you know, I was like, well, what do I do a show about now? I'm like, I have no idea. So I just won't do it anymore. But, I talked to a couple people, the guys over at Unshackled Liberty, and Matt from Status Quo kind of, you know, threw some ideas and helped spitball it. And I just decided just to change focus. So I decided to start a new season. So season 2, episode 1 drops tomorrow.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I know back when we were doing the frat thing, you had the podcast up and running, and yeah. then I noticed now you're a former podcast host on Twitter.
Yeah, I changed it back. I changed it back to just regular old Smoke Pit story time. I did my last episode with Josh Smith, which he's a super nice guy, and. But I did, you know, I disagree with him a lot on about the LP, you know.
Yeah.
He's trying to do good things and stuff, but I'm just like, dude, it's a controlled op. I mean, you look, you know, Jacob Hornberger, I was actually pretty excited about him, even though I wish he was a little bit more gruff.
Yeah.
But the ideas were legit as it gets, you know. I mean, I thought he was as hardcore as Ron Paul, and that was good. And then from out of nowhere, you get Joe Jorgensen, which is like, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, and she haven't even said that she doesn't care about, you know, center libertarians or right libertarians. She's trying to get disaffected progressives. I'm like, they're going to hate you no matter what you say, you know?
Yeah.
So I just, it was at that point, I was like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to talk about that shit.
Yeah. Me and Zero have both been kind of feeling, we've been feeling a lot similar. And we had an episode recently. Because like our listeners know a bit about like what we've been talking about, which is really similar to what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like just, you know, the politics, just tired of it. Like we, mm-hmm. a hell of a lot of like ANCAPs or just anarchists in general, like already admit that politics suck. And, but then I like, it's weird, you know, because it's fun to engage in politics to a certain degree, right? Like to a lot of people, that's their sports, you know?
Well, yeah, it's like trying to get out of an abusive relationship.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You know you should. You know you should. You know you shouldn't have anything to do with that person, but damn it, man.
Yeah.
Something about it. You know, it's familiar. You know, sometimes it's fun to fight, you know.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
But, like,
I still get knee-dip in arguments, too, but now I'm just like, I'm not as nice about it, I guess. I try to stay out of it, but.
Oh, I'm like, you mean arguments on like social media?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Because I don't get in arguments on social media at all.
I'm there now. Unless I see something just so hard R tarred yeah. that I can't leave it alone, which lately here is
yeah.
most people.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. But
I started making memes again. That's fun.
Oh yeah. I mean that's what it's all about, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like I was pretty proud. I was kinda sad it didn't get a lot of traction, but I did the golden calf and I just put government on the side of it.
Yeah. But like what me and Zero are doing now is kind of like, and I think I can speak for him. Because if you know, if he wanted to speak for himself, he could have been here, but I don't know.
Yeah.
he'll be here in a minute. But like we're kind of post political, you know,
yeah.
we're like, I don't care. You know, I know that I have no say in who's the president. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, Trump isn't the average political candidate, but other than Trump, you know, it's always between, you know, John McCain and Obama, you know. So
it's
like,
the same though.
Exactly, yeah.
Like if Biden wins, it'll be George W.'s third term.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, so, no, like, I'm sorry. Obama's two terms with his third and fourth, so it'll be his fifth term. So.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, like, what we're doing is, like, okay, you know, what can we do in our lives to maximize our own personal sovereignty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where we're at. It's like an agorism thing, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I dig the agorism thing. I just I've never read Konkin. I just know what under the table means.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like you'll never starve an apparatus that can print its own food.
Yeah.
That thing, it's just going to poison itself to death. And he's got to wait for that. To me, like the way I look at agorism is just if it's in my best interest and the people that I'm interacting with, then cool. It's awesome. But I don't look at it in anything really more than that.
Yeah.
I don't... You know, if I can trade with somebody outside, you know, gray market, you know, bartering, things like that, that works out cool. Or, you know, I pay the kid down the street to mow my lawn for $20. He doesn't pay taxes on it. That's agorism. But I don't think it's going to ever starve the government to where it collapses and says, oh, will you please, you know, pay taxes? No, if they really want the tax money, they'll just send dudes with guns to kidnap you and take it.
Yeah.
But I'm a little black-pilled today, I guess.
Well, like, I think it's weird that there are, oh, we got Zero joining. Come on, get in here.
Yeah, I'm a little tired. I laid flooring and did trim work all day yesterday and today.
Oof.
Yeah. Good though.
That's a lot. Hey, Zero.
Hey, how do I sound?
You sound good.
Okay, I'm on my phone.
Where are you?
I'm just in one of the rooms in our house.
Okay.
In a van down by the river.
Yeah, it said free ammo on it, and I got in, and, well, here I am.
Now my breath smells like ether.
That's right.
We were talking a bit about agorism and how a vet archivist is getting kind of he's tired of like the LP stuff and tired of politics and tired of politicians, and he had a bit of a hard time figuring out what direction his podcast should go in after that realization. Is that a fair characterization?
That's pretty right on. I mean, basically I'm down to, you know, community and building relationships with the people around you. And, you know, we're kind of doing that, but in a virtual space with podcasting as well. To me, I'm just more about, it's kind of like when people talk about like religion, how religion's bad, and some of them may be, but to me, I'm like, well, you're missing the point. That's also about relationship as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think the stronger your relationships are around you, to me, that's the true agorism, because the stronger community you have amongst people, the less you need government. So
yeah,
the more and more they become irrelevant, because then you just take care of problems yourself. And it's, you know, that's not vigilante shit. That's just, you know, you're more apt to not screw somebody over that you know, and that you know can put hands on you or it's going to ostracize you from the community.
Yeah. And I got to say, like we recorded people listening will know this by now, but we recorded a live episode with our patrons, and the audio screwed up really bad and we couldn't use it. Mm-hmm. And like, speaking of this virtual community we're in, like a bunch of people came out and really helped us out with the episode. That's going to be the one preceding this one. So it came out today.
That's
so
cool.
They really helped us out, and it was a good, I mean, man, like the episode is 2 hours long, and then we recorded, and then like a bunch of other people joined, and then we recorded like another 40 minutes just of a conversation going down a rabbit hole.
Oh yeah.
But like, it was awesome that they were there to help us out. I really appreciate it.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was, Jared did a lot of bitching about the military.
Well, there's a lot to bitch about there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of communities, you're kind of building one with, all like the libertarian vets on Twitter.
It's cool. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm trying to increase those numbers too. You know, it's not hard to do, really.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think it is about that military experience that kind of drives a lot of people, it seems like, into that libertarian sphere?
Well, I think a lot of it is, you in the military, you really see bureaucracy firsthand. And it's not just a time or two, like you live, it's like living inside of the DMV.
Yeah.
And so you see it 24/7 in every single aspect of your life. And at minimum, you're going to see that for 3 to 4 years. And then also, if you deploy, then you see the results of the empire firsthand. And then some, you know, good and bad, and mostly bad. And then it takes a lot of time. You know, some people it takes, you know, like the biting the bullet guys, like they realized it while they were in. It didn't really sink in until about, I don't know, 10 years after I was already out. And so I think it's just a lived experience. It just touches you like in a very significant and emotional way. So, you know, a lot of veterans have that shared experience. So we kind of get together and we kind of reminisce. And so it's easier to plant those seeds of libertarianism. It's really easy to red pill those guys. But you'll see those douchebags on Twitter, whatever. They're like, I laid into one today. He's like, as a U.S. Air Force law enforcement official, I don't think that there should be guns on the street. And I'm like, shut up, dude. You arrested E1s for DUIs and speeding tickets. Fake-ass Serpico. And like, you go looking at those guys, they're like, as a so-and-so, they'll be like supply or some bullshit.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Like, maybe qualified once a year, maybe.
They're kind of like the, you know, like a Pete Buttigieg veteran.
Yeah. That know? Dude didn't, he didn't even go, he didn't go through OCS. He didn't go through any of the military academies or nothing. It was,
oh, yeah, that was.
Yeah, that was a, I forget what the Navy's the only one that does that shit now. But, it's like a political appointment. And so he was a driver for like 4 months. And yeah. Same thing with Bunter Hayden.
Yeah.
he became a second lieutenant at 41. The cutoff is like 28.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So he just went into the Navy and did a bunch of blow and got pissed hot and then got kicked out.
So. Yeah. At least with Pete Buttigieg, I'm sure the CIA had absolutely nothing to do with his military career. I'm sure it had nothing to do with it.
No, I don't think so at all.
So I think you need to do something with the statement, the military to libertarian pipeline.
That sounds awesome.
Doesn't that sound cool?
Yeah. That would be fun to get like all of like the Biden the Bullet guys, Veterans for Voluntarism, Status Quo, like all those guys just do a little marathon. That'd be funny.
Yeah, but like it'd be cool to popularize that phrase. You know, like if you just put it out there a bunch and then
hashtag
like,
that.
Yeah, hashtag yeah. And then like, you know, you get, you know, the New York Times writing about it negatively, which just helps. A hell of a lot of people, you know.
Yeah,
I think that's cool. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it'd have to be had to pair that with we'll do like hashtag veteran to libertarian pipeline and then hashtag anti-neocon.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll label you with the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Boys and
oh my god!
You can gain some notoriety.
Yeah,
Vetarchist OG, the leader.
Of the dude, last night I was hanging out with some friends and we were watching this this Vice thing. Where?
Oh wow!
You must hate yourself.
It was funny, dude, and we were roasting it, so it was good,
like Mystery Science Theater 3000 style.
Exactly, but And these are a bunch of gun guys. These are guys that are in the Burning Boots Discord.
Okay.
Like Moose and Fox and
yeah, I was on Discord for a little bit, and like you guys had me in that frat thing, which I thought was a really neat idea. I just hate Discord.
Oh man, I love Discord.
I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, there's a learning curve to it, but
yeah, that's true.
I never like. I mean, I just got on Twitter for a couple years ago. I mean, I remember when Twitter came out, like first came out, and I was like, I don't even like Facebook. Why would I get on that?
But it's addicting.
It is. It's yeah, my rage addiction.
Well,
it's a lot more fun when you realize you don't give a crap anymore. Well, yeah. I mean, like I do care, but not about anything on there. I can just make like bad dad jokes and then that makes people even more furious, so that's even better. I'm like, I'm not even doing anything wrong, I'm just being funny and unoffensive, and like the more unoffensive I can be, like the more it just turns them up, and it's awesome.
No, see, I think you hit on something important, that just not caring is the secret, because I have really cultivated like theme for my account. So like now I'm trying to find it. I tweeted something stupid.
Yeah, we just tweet earlier. Fun, like just goofing off. It's like you still care. You still care. You just care about stuff that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I tweeted big fan of cheese and it got 38 likes.
And see,
I was like, oh, what did I say yesterday? I'm like drinking pineapple rum out of the bottle, like a straight G cuz.
Are you going to say zero?
No, it's just sometimes your tweets drive me crazy because I'll be like, what is this crap? And then I see like 30 likes. I'm like, this is what gets him 2,000 followers.
It's kind of the bird model.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was Bird that I think I discovered like this community through him. About a year ago, I guess. So yeah. Kind of the bird model. But what should I tweet right now? And we'll see how many likes it has by the end of the episode.
So Vetarchist OG has some real girth energy. It's a total lie, but who cares? It's Twitter.
Okay.
And I'll retweet it.
Let's I was going to say that I try not to tweet like when I'm in that mood where I just don't care, because I'll start tweeting unironically about just like killing politicians and just I get way too serious.
I really did want to tweet this, and I don't know why I didn't, but you know, now the whole gun confiscation crap is coming out and they're like, weapons of war shouldn't be on the streets. And I want to reply, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, then you don't have anything to worry about. Kind of like how they always say about surveillance and shit.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So back to the Vice thing, that this is related. Okay. I just sent the tweet. They did this thing where they like followed around Antifa, and then they followed around the Boog Boys. And then I think in episode 3, they do the KKK, but we didn't watch that. And dude, the Antifa thing, like they were, you know, asking them pretty easy questions and all the stuff. And then the Boog Boys, and also for the Antifa, like they picked like a 38-year-old dude to follow around. For the Boog Boys, they picked a 19-year-old kid to follow around. And I mean, it was so bad. But then one of the things that made me laugh out loud was they were following the Antifa people around, and the Antifa people were like marching on some public building that there was a fence around, you know, a chain link fence in Portland. And they started shaking the fence, and then they started shooting rubber bullets at the people shaking the fence, and the reporter got hit. and the Antifa dude was like, hey bro, you just got hit by a weapon of war. And it's like, no dude, if you got hit by a weapon of war, like, you know, your head be over there, your arm be over here, you know. I don't think
to those guys, you know, a pair of work boots is a violent weapon. Like,
that's right.
Stop telling me to clean my room.
Gosh, Mom.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Peterson triggers those guys. I mean, you damn well better figure out what your problem is. You clean your room, you lobster. Yeah.
Imagine getting triggered by a lobster, dude. That's the state the left is in right now.
Yeah. I mean, getting triggered by a Canadian Kermit the Frog.
Yeah,
I was going to say, if you can get offended by a Canadian, then you're doing something wrong.
I mean, what's the problem, eh?
Did y'all hear his back?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did his wife pass away?
No.
She's got cancer or something, right?
I got a bone to pick. With.
I hear a bunch of like inconsistencies with that whole situation.
And I blame the Burning Poots podcast. And they're fake news, because twice now they have said that Jordan Peterson's wife has died. And twice, one time I DM'd Derek and was like, dude, she has not died. And he's like, really? And I explained it to him. He's like, oh, okay. okay, good to know. And then they go on the podcast again like 2 months later and say, oh, yeah, she's dead, dude. No, she's not dead. She never died. She had kidney cancer. She doesn't have kidney cancer now. Okay, and, that's good. Like, she's everything's fine, you know? She yeah. never died. God, so dumb, dude.
Them
Bernie
boys.
Food, so dumb.
Them daggum boys.
I know. But, no, she had kidney cancer. And this is weird. This, I don't really understand everything going on about this, going all around this. But she had kidney cancer. And then I think it was her daughter that, like, used the words, miraculously, it went away. Like, just kind of went away. And
she go on the carnivore diet?
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't. Well, no, she got she was diagnosed with kidney cancer after she went on to the carnivore diet.
I know. I was just being a douchebag.
Oh, I'm too nice of a guy. I can't even pick up on it. You know, I'm just so impervious to it.
Well, it's like Jordan Peterson said, like he had applesauce and it gave him like. It messed him up for like a month.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't like I do keto pretty hard and I got off of it recently and I felt like crap. You know, I was mm-hmm. talking to my dad about this recently. I'm like, you know, like Jordan Peterson says, I don't doubt it, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I know just when I do keto, I feel a hell of a lot better. Not only just like physically, but mentally, I think especially for men, like it's important because, you know, you're eating a hell of a lot more red meat and that produces a hell of a lot more testosterone. It's just good for you.
Oh, yeah. And the animal fat as well. That's where all the hormones are. You know, that study they did in Canada about all the red meat causing cancer, you know, the last couple of years came out and said that study was flawed.
No,
they were tracking people, like eating McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's that's not the same thing. That's not meat.
Yeah, and then like there are the studies, and I know Jordan Peterson talked about this a whole lot. They are the studies that say, like, you know, people that eat red meat are fatter and they have more cholesterol and everything, and they'd say, yeah, but the people that they were studying also were eating baked potatoes, drinking like real Coca-Cola, and were smoking cigarettes. So like, yeah they're not going to be healthy, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's just like every study. Studies show that eating blueberries is good for you. Yeah. No shit. I didn't need a $300,000 government loan to figure that out.
Loan?
Or whatever it is.
They're going to pay that back?
No, not loan.
Is Rutgers University going to pay back?
No, you know what I'm talking about. I know.
A grant.
Yeah, grant. I don't know words good, all right?
my favorite study that the government paid for. I don't even know what they were trying to do, but we got that video of the shrimp running on a treadmill underwater. Have y'all seen that?
Oh, no.
Oh. Oh boy. Let's see.
Okay, you have to send it here.
I'm I'm doing it. Shrimp treadmill. Let's see here.
Rand Paul used to like publish stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
His yearly airing of grievances, right?
Yeah. And he would list all like government waste stuff.
Okay. I am sending I want to send it to both of y'all.
And he's like, why are we giving chickens cocaine when our own people can't even use it, you know?
Okay, I sent it to y'all.
All right,
check that out. That's a great video. For everybody listening, just look up shrimp treadmill on Twitter or on YouTube, and you'll see what we're looking at.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude, look at him go.
Why is this a thing?
Like, he's zooming, he's getting after it.
Could you hear the music?
Yeah.
He's way outpacing. Yeah.
Look at him. Like,
he's
what do you think?
He's outpacing the speed on his treadmill.
What do you think is to the right of where the frame cuts off? Like, what do you think they're enticing him with?
A blender?
A blender? Some cocktail
maybe
sauce?
Maybe it's what's behind him.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, gotta run.
Gotta go. No, behind him is the cocktail sauce. And he's like, no. And in front of him is a female, obviously.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
This is Patrick from SpongeBob behind him with his mouth wide open going, come here.
Let me read you the description for this video. Yes, it was a good idea to do this, and no, that's not my shrimp or treadmill, but hey, whatever gets you on CNN, lol. I don't know what that means.
When was this published? This was 11 years ago.
Wow.
What a bunch of nerds.
That's crazy.
This is great.
I love the comments on like really weird videos.
Oh, wow. There's shrimp treadmills and five other odd research projects. How's that about?
Oh, we got crab on a treadmill?
If they show me another John Ossoff video, I'm going to punch the screen.
Dude, why do they keep putting... All these
political ads
suck. Why do they keep putting crustaceans on treadmills?
Well, they're the only ones that really respond to the drugs.
Should that be the name of the episode? Crustaceans on treadmills.
Crustaceans, frustrations.
Now, what are we talking about?
Cocaine shrimp.
Let's see how many likes that tweet has. Let's see here.
I'm still reading these comments.
Oh. Okay, we got 5 likes in 9 minutes. That's not bad.
Oh, here's a funny one. So this lady, this is all under like Joe Biden's tweet. And she, this lady goes, my husband is a Navy vet and gun owner, but would gladly give up his AK-47 in order to stop some of this gun violence in America. And it said, hashtag Cubans for Biden. So I made a meme, and it's Castro. And it says, what does a government do with an unarmed populist? Whatever it wants. That's the kind of stuff where I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to be like, Cubans in this country should be the last people that would be for gun confiscation.
Yeah.
Evidently, she's third generation.
Yeah.
Her grandparents would be like, bitch.
Dude, real quick, Zero. I got to tell you, I can't, whenever I'm on Tinder, I cannot tell you if I'm in a big city. I can't tell you how many like Venezuelan chicks I see that are like, you know, hashtag Bernie, whatever.
Oh, like, no.
It makes no sense.
Why do you go on what is Tinder like a dating?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been on
I've been married for a long time.
8 so. Months or something, but yeah, it sucks. But yeah, it's a dating app.
I went on Plenty of Fish once. That was stupid.
What's your favorite dating app, Zero?
Then I just went out to a
I can't even think of one, actually.
Probably
Christian Mingle. Only. There we go.
Oh.
Goths Only.
You like Goths Only?
Farmers Only.
Dude,
Farmers
that only. Commercial
I think my mom
so
suggested
awesome.
I get on it at one point.
That hey, was man. The most memeable commercial I've ever seen in my life, dude. That was
which one?
Awesome. Farmers Only commercials.
Oh,
dude, they're
yeah.
crazy.
Oh my yeah. gosh. It's like straight out of like Tractor Supply or something.
Dude, it's like if no, the farm but they're weird. They're like surreal. Like Farmers Only commercials are like if Hunter S. Thompson walked into a Tractor Supply. Like they're weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if Hunter S. Thompson and like the Mormon church.
Oh Oh, man.
The only ones I remember are like the ones where someone's standing out in the field.
Well,
it's just weird. Yeah.
There are other ones where, like, I know one I remember is like the farm animals are talking to one another. They're like, you know,
wait, what?
Yeah. The farm animals are talking and they're like,
I sure wish Bill would go on a date.
Yeah.
He's been awful lonely lately.
Is that why he keeps spending all that time out in the barn?
Uh-oh.
Bessie ain't never been the same since.
Oh, Wilbur. I saw it. It was bad.
Now we're making Rule 84 Animal Farm.
Oh no! I watched some video the other day. It was a cartoon, right? And it's this farmer who like spent all day milking his cows, and his animals were feeling real bad for him, so they pulled their money, right? And they get him this automatic milking machine, right? And he gets it. And of course, the first thing he does is unzips his pants.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that reminds me. I unashamedly watch Golden Girls. It's my wife's favorite show, so then it became my favorite show, and it's legit funny,
dude. I'll with you.
And Betty White, you know, character Rose was talking about her parents and said her parents met, or her mom was the night nurse and her dad came in to get his stomach pumped and she connected his stomach pump to the wrong spot. She goes, the next thing you know, they were married.
Damn.
Like, there's so many low-key jokes in that whole series that if you really think about it, you're like, oh shit.
Man, I haven't watched that in a hot minute. You know, I was reminded about Third Rock from the Sun. Did y'all ever watch that?
I tried. I couldn't get into it. It's kind of like, I never could get into like How I Met Your Mother. What's the other one with the Herd of Nerds?
Oh, Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
No, I don't like How I Met Your Mother. Everyone in my family really likes Big Bang Theory. I hate it. Third Rock from the Sun, I love. It's funny. Like the premise is there are these aliens that are in human bodies, and it's really inaccurate because they don't become politicians, but
or eat children.
Yeah. But it's like there's like a patriarch and a woman, and then like a 14-year-old, and then like the brother, you know. So they're. But they're all aliens, so everything's new to them. Like they freak out I remember one of them sneezes for the first time, and they're like, "What was that?" And the person that sneezed was like, "I don't know, but it was good," you know, and just all that kind of stuff. And then they freak out at a tissue thing. You know, you pull one out, another one pops up, and they're just freaking out about it. And they're like, "Oh my God, this invention! Wow," you know, and it's great. I was watching clips of it today. It was hilarious.
I've been going old school and watching Andy Griffith's show.
Hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
And Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Dude, Johnny Carson was so funny. And what's funny is that I think it was one of the last episodes, and it was the election going on right then. And he's talking about was it George Bush or whatever? They pull up in their limousines, and then like he said, Harry Brown walks up with a sack across his back or something. Just making fun of even back then, they were making fun of the Libertarian Party.
No, I didn't know that was a Libertarian guy.
Yeah, Harry Brown.
Harry Brown.
And then there was an old one, but he was making fun of Gavin Newsom's dad.
Man, was he a politician?
He was the governor of California then, I think.
Wow.
And kind of weird how this stuff runs in the family a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, Gavin Newsom, his aunt Isn't that Nancy Pelosi? His aunt's Nancy Pelosi or something.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. And then even Reagan was like calling her and her whole family out, because I guess they're originally from New Jersey, and said that they were like in a crime family and stuff.
Let's see here.
Kind of like Cuomo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't his dad was like a gangster, or was it his uncle?
Uncle. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all. I mean, the mob took over New York.
And they're Italian.
Yeah. Oh shoot! There was one where I think it was like in 89 or something, when Joe Biden had to drop out of the race because he got caught plagiarizing a speech.
Yeah, yeah.
Johnny Carson was making fun of him then. speaking of Pete Buttigieg or whatever.
Buttigieg.
Yeah.
As Mayor, Trump says it.
Mayor Butt Stuff. Yeah, he's on Jake Tapper's show right now saying if Joe Biden wins, a nationwide lockdown is on the table.
Yeah, somebody was telling me recently that if they predict if Joe Biden wins, that COVID will just go away.
That, I think that's – I hear a lot of Republicans saying that, but in my mind, like, I don't care who wins. It's another lockdown is coming again.
It's the flu.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying it's not a bad flu, but it's the flu. Because notice how the flu numbers are not getting reported like they were last year.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's down like 95% or something.
Yeah, it's a bunch of horse shit.
But I think that, like, we, you know, like, Americans are, like, we've shown that we're willing to go into lockdown, give up a bunch of freedom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is a beta test, and they just proved their theory.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Cotton?
I was going to say, do y'all think that when Halloween is over, it de facto becomes Christmas season?
No.
No.
No, the Christmas season isn't until December 24th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. See, I tweeted earlier today about how Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday because it's like Christmas. It has the camaraderie of Christmas, but without the corporatism.
Wait, what?
So
Thanksgiving's got a ton of corporatism, right?
No. Go to Walmart right now and look for Thanksgiving decorations.
There are none. They're already Christmas out.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know who I blame for that? Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, dude, screw Hallmark Channel. Man.
They start playing Christmas movies in like July.
God.
Yeah.
Man, Hallmark's when I worked retail, we would get the Christmas stuff in September.
Wow.
And oh my God. And you know, it's a shame because like Christmas rocks. I love Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just, by the time Christmas happens, I'm like, yeah, this has been, 4 months too long.
Mm-hmm. I remember back in the 90s, I was cooking. This is before I left for the Army. But my sister was in town or whatever, and it was just me, her, and my mom. And she goes, let's put on some Christmas music. I'm like, why? It's Thanksgiving. She goes, yeah, but you listen to Christmas music at Thanksgiving. I'm like, since when? She's like, well, everybody does it. I'm like, no, nobody does that. What the hell are you doing? Like, turn that shit off.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no Thanksgiving music.
Yeah, it's like, it's 85 degrees outside.
What state is that in?
It's Georgia.
Georgia?
It was a hot year. But no, it was just like some years it's like that. It'll be sunny as crap on Thanksgiving.
Oh, but, yeah.
No, but I don't get it, man. Like,
dude,
a lot of Christmas music is trash.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I like the old stuff. I don't know. It just sounds cool. Like back from like the '50s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And the Christmas movies back then were better too.
Oh, for sure.
What's that? I'm trying to think of the name of that one that I really love.
Miracle on 34th Street.
No, not that one.
No, no, Liberty Zero likes the Jimmy Stewart one. Because Liberty Zero is a big fan of fractional reserve banking. And what's that one called? Damn, Jimmy Stewart. The one where like he almost jumps off a bridge.
Yes, that one. Yes.
It's a great movie, but it defends fractional reserve banking.
I read one article that said Mr. Potts was like a libertarian hero or something like that. It was fairly compelling.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely watch it.
Yeah, and then you'll have people going, why don't you just call it Christmas with the Koch brothers?
Christmas with the Koch brothers. That's good.
But I think we can all... It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, wait, real quick.
Yeah.
Die Hard, Christmas movie or no?
Yes.
You know, I got to be honest with you guys. I've only seen Die Hard once. I've only seen Die Hard 1 once. And it was all right.
It snows. There's a Christmas party. And there's a Santa Claus outfit. And they say
yes.
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Die Hard gets a...
It's good.
Yes.
Die Hard gets a movie. 7.5 out of 10.
The first and second one are both Christmas movies.
It's been a minute since I've seen the second one. I don't know. For some reason, I just don't remember it very well.
That's easy to do.
Now, Christmas Story. Does he have a daughter in that one?
No, that's the one that gets into
the names get
great. It's like Die Harder or something stupid.
Oh yeah,
Live Free or Die Hard.
They're coming out with a new one.
In a world with fractional reserve banking.
Let's see here.
Can y'all hear me?
Nope. Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
I've been talking.
Oh, no, we didn't hear that.
Oh, I was saying that I've seen Die Hard. I've only seen the first one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's it. And it was all right. And I have no strong feelings about it being a Christmas movie one way or the other.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we heard all that. We just ignored you because we don't
care.
I,
did you hear they're going to make a new one? They're going to further ruin the franchise.
Yeah, that's no one's got any good ideas anymore.
They have 5 Die Hard movies.
Yeah, four too many.
right.
Last year was cool. One of the little small. Movie theaters near my house, they were doing a thing where they were playing like classic movies. So they played Christmas Story on Christmas Eve, and so me and my wife went and watched that in a theater. And it's way funnier when you actually pay attention to it.
Oh, you've watched it without paying attention to it,
dude? It's on like 24 hours, like
yeah.
So it's just in the background, so I don't pay attention anymore.
That's a fantastic movie.
Oh yeah, when I was a kid, yeah, I paid attention to it and stuff, and but I didn't get the jokes. Now as an adult, and you really there, it's freaking hilarious.
Oh no, and I haven't watched this one.
Oh my gosh, Zero.
I know.
And so, you haven't watched the Christmas Story?
No, I haven't.
It's pro gun.
It is pro gun. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. All right.
You That's and on the you list. And. Zero underscore Liberty need to watch that this Christmas
it's
season.
It's pro gun, pro self defense, and pro stand your ground.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Your mother. Oh,
Black Bart.
Take that, Black Bart.
How about Elf? Elf is a really good movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Oh my God.
The Santa Claus.
Wait. On IMDb, Elf has a 6.9 out of 10.
Nice.
Dude.
Should I don't know.
That's groundbreaking.
That's probably the only Will Ferrell movie I like.
Yeah, Anchorman's pretty good.
I couldn't make it through that one either.
Man.
I went to see Semi-Pro in the theater, and I was there like 5 minutes into it, and I left. I don't know. When it's someone directing him, it's funny. When it's his deal and everything, it's annoying.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That dude that's always with him, that dude's funny.
Oh, yeah.
He was like a serious actor for a long time.
Yeah. I don't know that guy's name, but he's good.
Something Riley. John C. Riley?
Yeah, that's it. He was in Gangs of New York.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He played the cop.
Yeah, he's good. I like him a lot.
apparently, he's got like a bluegrass band or something.
Yeah, he did a movie about a musician. I haven't seen it, but apparently he can play music.
The Dewey Cox story.
Yeah, is that good?
I don't know. No, it was a spoof off of Walk the Line.
Walk the Line's a great movie.
Yeah. until you realize Joaquin Phoenix acts that way in real life.
Yeah. Well, see, like I made a conscious decision recently not to talk about alcohol as much because it's probably not healthy, and Liberty Zero just he's not an alcohol guy, so instead what I decided to do is just talk about movies all the time. So that's what we're going to do, because Zero has a lot to say about movies.
Yeah, you move from one thing to the other, huh?
yeah. No, I did. I was thinking like, you know, damn. I was thinking like I've been real good about not talking about alcohols.
So you have. Now that you mention it, you have.
So now we're gonna talk about movies.
Brent, I don't know if you've listened to our early episodes, but like it used to be that Cotton would talk about alcohol for like 15 minutes. Like, and I'm just like sitting there listening to him and the guest go on. It's just
well, it's like that whenever you talk about guns with a guest. Like, I'm just like, all right, I'm hanging out, you know.
I can talk about one because I used to work in the gun industry and I make beer, so
hell yeah.
Nice.
Now you got to merge the two somehow.
Yeah.
Like, you got to
drinking while reloading.
Yeah.
No.
I wear a pistol when I make beer. So
I was thinking you got to use some Hoppy's number 9 as like put some sugar in it and ferment it.
Yeah. But then your poop comes out really fast while the lubrication.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point.
I don't think it cleans your colons like it does a bore. Like a rifle bore.
Or maybe you need to like put some gunpowder in a porter and call it like the gun oil porter or something. I'm trying here. I think there's something there, but I can't quite delineate it yet.
Call it a powder charge porter.
There you go, man. See, it's coming together. old Cotton has some bright ideas every now and again, huh?
I wouldn't go that far, but.
Well, at least, you know, I don't have to have brains because of how hot I am.
Cotton does retain heat well.
Yep.
True enough. Yeah.
Dude, it chafes though. It chafes.
Smoking. Hey, stop. Did y'all see my new profile picture on Twitter? Check it out. This is exciting.
Oh no.
Oh, with the turtleneck.
Oh no.
Was that Michael Fassbender that you
stole? No, I just showed some random dude on Google Images wearing a turtleneck.
And you got, you've got, was it, is that Drake?
Yeah, that, yeah, that's my, he's getting down though. Look at him. He's that's my, that's my banner. Dude, look at him. Look at that. Listen, Zero hates turtlenecks and I don't see how he can. Just look at how good of a time Drake is having. Like he's just, he's in the zone, dude. He's just, I mean, he's just having a good old time and I'm down for a good old time.
And it just like, looks like a, I mean, it looks like a turtle head poking out.
He's just, man, like I,
you can't, what, you can't, if you like you had a bald head, you couldn't wear a turtleneck.
No, I disagree. I think if you have a bald head, the turtleneck looks even better. Because then you look like Lex Luthor. No, then you look like a, you look like a super villain.
I was going to say you look like a villain.
Yeah, dude.
I was going to say.
This looks like a mushroom sitting on top of it.
No, I think the thing is only kings can rock turtlenecks.
What's funny is like when a dude has no neck and they wear a turtleneck and this looks like they're barely poking out of it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So I ordered some balaclavas from Amazon, right?
As one does. And
they, as one does.
That's my favorite dessert.
Baklava. Dude, I love Greek food jokes.
Dude, Greek food is awesome. We're really stoked that our there's this Greek joint like down the street that just reopened finally, and also
nice.
So good. We have time to talk about Greek food, but I want to hear about Zero ordering baklava off of Amazon.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Yes. So ordering my baklava. No. So I ordered one, or actually two, and so I tried it on in the house, you know. And my wife thought it was goofy, right? And I got her real pissed off today because I walked into a restaurant with it, and she was so pissed. And then later she refused to go into the grocery store with me
because you were wearing it.
Yes, I was. It's this black ski mask, basically, right?
Oh my god!
And it's just—it's glorious.
That's great, dude.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, she was like, we got up to the counter at the restaurant. It was one of those where you order at the counter, and she's just so pissed off, and she's telling the guy at the cashier like how much she hates me.
That's great.
Now that it's getting cold, you got to wear like one of those old school commando sweaters with it.
Oh, okay, that's next on the list.
And like blue jeans and like hiking boots, and you're set.
Yes, yeah, dude, get a tactical turtleneck. See, I had this great idea.
Those two things don't go together.
Yes, they do. Now,
if you're a burglar, maybe.
No, I have a citation. I'll cite Mr. Sean Connery as James Bond. Anyway, so yes. I had this great idea for a ski mask turtleneck, right? Where it's just a turtleneck, but it goes over the head and has holes for your eyes, nose, and mouth. Isn't that great? Zero, imagine how awesome it would be if you wore that into Golden Corral.
Ooh.
Imagine.
All right, I think you're winning me over.
See?
Yeah. No, okay, you're right. You're right. I'm down.
Now we're talking. See?
Okay, let me know when these are, you have these in production.
I'll talk to my seamstress.
If it only works in the golden trough, then you're really limited.
No, I'm just saying that I think in that environment, it would be put to great use, right? I think
you could tactically sneak up on kids putting their booger hook in the chocolate fountain.
I was thinking mainly because people wouldn't like there wouldn't be any pictures of you at Golden Corral. Just stuff in your face, you know,
or just don't go to Golden Corral.
That's a good, yeah, there you go. But I was gonna say, see, isn't it great? because me and Zero are always button heads because, you know, he's a fan of fractional reserve banking and I'm not. But
I thought you liked I thought you liked modern monetary theory though.
No, that's incorrect.
He simps hard for AOC.
She aight. But no, do you know my it's so stupid that I have a modern monetary theory story. But do you know about it?
Nerd.
Nerd. I was I'll be short. I was at the Mises University a couple months ago, and because of COVID they wouldn't let you hold the mic, which was, you know, whatever. But so what you had to do was you had to send your questions to the Mises Institute, like, you know, Twitter account or Instagram, and then a staff member would read it to the panel. And they had their modern monetary theory expert up there. And I said, I think I've talked about this at least once on the podcast. I said, because of, like, for modern monetary theory to work, a government would have to have absolute control over currency, not just a currency, but currency in general. So wouldn't, like, that it logically follow that there would end up being a one world government? Because, you know, say there's like a country like Libya that is threatening going on the gold standard, and they can't have that because then that's going to devalue the controlled American currency under modern monetary theory. So it makes sense that there would eventually be just one currency and that's it. And you know what? The person asked, I think it was Rittenhouse, economist, you know what they asked him?
It's not the first Rittenhouse I thought of.
I was like, Kyle?
No, it's not. I don't remember his name. It's something like that.
The Chad of Kenosha?
It's Rittenhour. That's it. It's Rittenhour. But they asked him, would having modern monetary theory make it easier to have a one-world government? And so everybody in the – and then, of course, I was so pissed. And then, like, nobody knew what the heck that meant. So they're like, if whoever asked that question, if you could stand up and explain it a bit. So then I stood up. So then everybody knew it was me that asked that question. So then everyone thought that I wanted a one world government. And it pissed me off so much.
That's why we haven't been able to get any big names on the podcast.
Man.
Well, much as libertarians like to argue, you'd think they'd want to come on. And
you'd think.
You ever see, you know, that guy Biggie Foots on Twitter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's so freaking funny. But he's talking about, he was libertarian. I don't know. I guess I'm pretty much the same thing, only I'd never read any of those nerdy ass books.
That's a lot of people in the movement, I've come to find out.
I haven't. I mean, I've read some, but not, I mean, I haven't read Roth. I've listened to a lot of his talks and stuff like that, but I don't know. I've got so much stuff to read, and I've tried to read some of the economy stuff. I'm basically like, you know, government, get out of the way and
everybody yeah.
do what they're supposed to do.
I feel that.
Yeah. Like, if you're not an economics guy, like, I don't see what the point is going deep into it. Like, read, yeah. you know, what's that book? Henry Hazlitt, Economics in One Lesson. And
I have read, like, that. I mean, I read the Creature from Jekyll Island and stuff like yeah. that. And like
that stuff's cool, but there's no reason for you to read these textbooks. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really want to read them. I might, but I don't know. Like, I feel like you're kind of in some circles in the community, you're looked down upon if you don't. Like, you know, Human Action is sure. that thing you have to read, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like for a long time. Well, I mean, shoot, if you're anything these days, if you're any to the right of Obama, the Libertarian Party doesn't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I first started looking at libertarianism and I said I was a veteran, and they were like, oh, my God. I'm like, all right, well.
I've been in the government and it's bad. So
yeah, people suck sometimes, dude.
Like I got firsthand knowledge of why the state sucks. Okay.
Yeah. People suck sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's in some people's best interest to have libertarians do nothing but fight each other. So
yeah,
that's for sure.
That's true.
No, I was just going to say that, I kind of lost interest in economics when I realized that every time I argued using economic principles, like no one gave a rip.
Yeah. I mean, I get the gist of it. I mean, I can hold a conversation, or if I listen to, you know, Dave Smith or somebody talk about it, or listen to Michael Malice or whatever, like I can follow along. But I mean,
so I have one more thing we can talk about before we wrap up.
Okay.
Have either of y'all listened to the Kanye Joe Rogan episode yet?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Dude, it's fantastic.
He did give probably one of the best answers on foreign policy I've heard yet.
Yeah. Yeah. He was awesome, dude. He was, man. He was like saying a lot of the stuff we were saying in episode 50.
Just, oh, okay.
Like, just talking about, you know, hey man, you got to grow your own food. You can't worry about all this bullshit, you know. And then like he was talking about religion with that, you know, like he was talking about like he was saying like the only thing worth really doing in a group other than business, like, you know, just voluntary business, is praise, you know. And it was awesome.
Huh.
I mean, he said a couple, he did, speaking about economics and being nerdy, he did say one thing about money being fake, and he said probably one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. He said money ain't real, so that means everything eventually gonna be free.
Oh no.
Yeah. But listen, you know, that's like the one thing that sucked, you know. And
yeah,
and what I really liked, and I think this is underappreciated, Joe Rogan tried to get him to agree that we should have free healthcare, and he wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like outright be like, no, that's bad, I'm not gonna do that, but he talked around it, but I think he knew exactly what he was doing, and he didn't want to say no, you know, he didn't want to agree to it, but then he didn't want to be overtly against it. But it was awesome.
It was interesting. There was just some stuff I'm like, man, I don't know, man.
It might be because I'm going insane, but I was with him the whole way.
Yeah. I just want to know when the next album's dropping.
Oh, I doubt there's going to be a next album.
Because that's what he always does, man. He always does something like that and then drops a new album.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but this has been going on for a long time now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Okay.
All right, you guys ready for the final question?
Yeah. Sure.
All right. So, on this podcast, we don't really talk about politics that much because we just don't care. But, what are you guys planning for election night? Like, what are you going to be doing?
Going to bed at my usual time.
Election night is on Tuesday.
Yeah. I got to work in the morning. So
if there's still a building to work in,
I live in the country.
I'm probably going to hop between different, buddies that are going to be live streaming it. I know Fox is going to be doing it on Burning Boots. I know some other people doing it, and then probably because I'm a busy boy, I'm probably going to go to bed at a somewhat reasonable time.
Yeah,
It would. I will laugh my ass off if Trump wins again and just see them lose their shit. I would laugh even harder if somehow like Nancy Pelosi lost her race.
Yeah, that'd be good. Man. What about you, Zero? What are you going to be doing?
Well, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but originally I was planning on cleaning guns.
Oh, yeah. I need to do that.
Yeah, right.
Like tomorrow.
I gotta reconfirm Zero.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
A couple of things.
Yeah, actually, I kind of want to do that now. Yeah, but so I was going to do that, but then I realized I have something I usually do on Tuesday nights, so I'm going to be busy with that. Yeah. I remember last time I went to bed early, and then I woke up and saw that the country had gone mad and elected Trump.
Mm-hmm. That was funny. It was Hitler. They literally elected Hitler.
Dude, I was still in college at that point, and I had this this ethics class with a bunch of like Austinites, you know, like all these libs. Oh, it was so great. Like I really didn't care that Trump had won so much, but just to listen to the butthurt about it the next day, it was fantastic. I loved it.
I love that bit that Dave Smith had about it. He's like, you know, they said he elected literally Hitler. He's like, which is, it's pretty high bar to set. So like, if he's anything short of Hitler, you're like, hey, he didn't do a bad job. I mean, he didn't kill 6 million people, you know.
He only killed 25,000.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man.
I remember that night I stayed up until the final results came in. And because I was really invested and I was interested. And I remember watching the Steven Crowder stream, which that was awesome. That was so much fun because like
it was actually funny as crap.
Yeah, dude. He was the only one that was like watching other streams
into the Young Turks.
Yeah, dude. He was like every like 10 minutes he'd check in on the Young Turks, and then oh god, I was crying laughing. Oh, like I didn't even know who was winning. Like I was just like hanging out, and but I can't imagine. Like I'm excited. I gotta catch up so that I can dick around Tuesday night because I want to be on Discord having a good old time with the boys. Because I bet it's going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of that, before we sign off, join the Discord if you're still listening.
I'm still here.
Thank you. Join the Discord. You're on our Discord, aren't you? You better be.
No, I deleted Discord altogether.
Oh god.
Well, I talk to you all the same people on Twitter. Why do I need to do a whole nother thing?
Yeah,
you have Discord's to do it on several better. Apps, man.
Discord's better because it's more. Know. It's more.
All the cool inclusive. Kids are on Discord.
And it's dude, more, I'm in my 40s. ain't nobody got time for that.
I
don't even go on. I haven't even been on Facebook in like 5 months.
Good man.
I go on Facebook just to like Zero's posts.
Dude, I sent you something on Facebook Messenger and you still haven't responded.
You did?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't check Facebook Messenger. What do you think I am?
I don't know. I sent you a funny video. I forget what it was. But yeah, you got to check that, man.
Okay, I see it. You sent it Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to watch it right now.
I forget what it is.
No, economists, you can't artificially prop up the economy forever. And then there's a giant, I don't know what you call it, forklift spinning around a plane.
Oh, yeah.
So before we head out, Vetarchus, why don't you give your plugs?
All right. Well, Vetarchist OG on Twitter and Smoke Pit Storytime, wherever you get your listen to podcasts and stuff.
And you're starting that back up.
Yeah, back in the game. Once I get off here, I got to finish up a little polishing on the episode I'm dropping tomorrow.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You want to give us a teaser? Like, what's in store? It doesn't matter for everyone else, but for me and Cotton, I guess.
I kind of fangirled out on my guest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a guy, an author, former Marine Special Operations, former Army Special Operations dude, and pretty red-pilled.
Nice.
Pretty cool dude. And I was excited to get to meet him and all that jazz. And he said he's going to come back on. So
sweet.
That's always a good thing. But
yeah, sweet. I wish people would do that with our podcast.
Hey, we've had
Cotton in there, and it, you know, just kind of screws it up.
We've had quite a few.
Like I said earlier, Cotton chafes a little, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
He gets a little sweaty and kind of.
Well, we've had. We've had a lot of returning guests. Like, if you want to talk shit about you can't.
What do you got? We got the status politocrat.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, you can't talk shit about Dexter.
No, that's true. That's
Dexter's true. Like the best. And Derek, don't forget Derek, my co-host.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your co-host. Yeah.
So,
super gay Derek, or
no, he's not gay.
That's the one.
Not, it's no, he's not gay. It's literally in his Twitter @. He's not gay.
Do you guys remember when I he got suspended for a day?
Yeah,
and I switched my account. My account to mimic his. Oh, I had so much fun with that.
That was great.
That's hilarious.
Dude, there are like four different Derek accounts. There's Black Derek, and there's Derek Is Gay, and there's another one, I think. Dude, what an icon. That's funny.
All right. So I'm Liberty Zero, reminding you to zero your rifle.
And I'm Cotton Arcist, reminding you to pick cotton voluntarily.